This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by HuntStand. HuntStand is the number one hunting app in the country, and at only $29.99, HuntStand offers a ton of functionality for hunters all over the country. Whether you own your own property or strictly hunt public, you can choose from over a dozen base maps, view property ownership information, 3D mapping, local weather, log your sightings and harvest, as well as use their trail cam management software, and print maps from your hunt areas. Download it today at the Apple App Store or Google Play. HuntStand. Upgrade your arsenal.
So, I was recently put in Facebook jail for writing a comment about wanting to, quote, kill a frick ton of does this fall. It's no secret that big tech companies have been slowly encroaching on our outdoor lifestyle, and that's why I'm thankful for companies like Go Wild. Go Wild is like any other social media app, except that it's geared towards outdoors men and women. You're able to share your stories and pictures from the field, log your trophies, and engage with other hunters, all without fear of being censored by Big Brother. We recently teamed up with Go Wild to create an easy place where you can see and even purchase all of the gear that you see me use on the Southern Ground Hunting Channel. All you have to do is go download the app to your smartphone and search Parker McDonald to see my gear page. You can also find other gear for purchase in the store from brands like Garmin, Vortex Optics, Rocky Boots, and thousands more. Now here's the best part. If you use the code SOUTHERNGROUND, all lowercase, all one word, you can save 10% on anything in the Go Wild store. Again, that's SOUTHERNGROUND, all lowercase, all one word, and that'll save you 10%. I think that's pretty cool. So check out the show notes of this episode for the download link to join hundreds of thousands of other hunters like us on Go Wild. The Southern Ground Hunting Podcast is brought to you by Spartan Forge. It's forged in combat and tailored for hunters. Spartan Forge stands at the nexus of machine learning and whitetail deer hunting to deliver truly intuitive and science-based products that save the hunter time spent scouting, planning, and executing their hunts. You can start your free 14-day trial today by visiting spartanforge.ai, and you can use the code SOUTHERNGROUND, that's all lowercase, all one word, SOUTHERNGROUND at checkout, and that'll get you 25% off of your purchase. You wanting to know more about saddle hunting? Well, check out tetherednation.com for all your saddle hunting needs. Tethered is for saddle hunters by saddle hunters, and they're redefining ultralight hunting. If you'd like to support the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast, you can visit patreon.com/southerngroundhunting, or you can click on the link in the show notes of this podcast episode. We offer two different tiers for our patrons that offer a solid list of benefits. We'd love for you to join the Southern Ground Hunting community today. Again, that's patreon.com/southerngroundhunting. And now, let's get to the show. All right, today we've got a special guest from Pennsylvania. Now, Pennsylvania is not southern. It's actually very, very much northern. So we're going to rename the podcast Northern Ground for today and talk to my buddy Lane Hausner from Pennsylvania. Lane, what's going on up there in Pennsylvania?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing well. I appreciate you bailing me out today. So for the guys listening, I had some guests that we're going to have on next week. We had to reschedule. They said something about it being November, and they're tired, and they're wore out from dragging all these deer and hiking all over the world and all this stuff. So I reached out to, on the Spartan Forge, our little group text for all the pro staff guys or whatever, and you took the bait and said, hey, I'll come on, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, buddy, no worries. Yeah, I just got out of the woods and the mountains, and wasn't too eventful today, but I saw that and I was like, yeah, well, I'll talk to Parker tonight. Not too bad.
Yeah. There's worse things you could be doing, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, right now it gets dark so dang early. By the time you get out of the woods, you still got the whole evening.
Dude, I don't even know what to do with myself now. It's weird. You know what I mean? Like,
it is weird. I hate it, actually.
I know, man. I hate it, though. I hate it. And now you can't, you got to basically be in the, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love sitting all day and stuff. I love being out in the woods, but like, you know, you can't come in and take like little naps or, you know, like it's basically just grind season right now, you know?
If you want to hunt morning and evening right now, like,
yeah,
I just feel stupid if I get out of the tree before 11. Like,
yeah, exactly, dude. It doesn't even make any sense. Honestly, my camera is like, a bunch of my spots, I can kind of slip in late because, I mean, right now it's all, like, basically midday movement is what my cameras are telling me, like, everywhere, basically, like.
Do you think that has to do with the wind? I mean, the wind, the moon?
Yeah, I do a little bit. I mean, it's like a full moon right now, so I do. Yeah.
It's bright. I went out this morning, and the moon was, like, just, I didn't even hardly need a headlamp on the water. I was using my boat, and I was, like, just going on the water, didn't even need my headlamp. And then the moon hit like this, I don't know if it, maybe it did the same thing for you when it just was starting to go down over the horizon, right close to sun up. It turned like orange, like a blood red. It was awesome. It went from being like bright, you know, the white, yellow, whatever. And when it was going down, it was just like this deep, deep orange. But, I mean, full moon or not, I didn't see a single deer today. Not a freaking thing.
I didn't either, so I guess we suck together, man. But, hey, it's like, when you're hunting these, at least for up here, like, it's all, well, right now I'm in the mountains, so it's all kind of, I consider it like big woods. I mean, you know how it is hunting big woods. Like, it's hard, you know, and it's like, you'll see some deer, and then other days you won't see any deer, and then, yeah, but today I was hunting a saddle on the downwind side of it, so I thought for sure they were going to be kind of cruising. There was a creek down below me. I thought, man, it's just set up perfect on the map, but no, I didn't see anything. So.
Did you go in blind to that spot? Like, was it your first time in?
Yeah, I went in totally blind, but so, wasn't bad. I mean, a lot of these spots, like the northern side of it, has like a lot of it has mountain wall and stuff, so as long as you're like, not on really the northern side, or like, you know, kind of pick your spots good based on that. Like, for the most part, you don't run into that mountain laurel stuff.
So in the mountain laurel, I know it can get real thick and kind of hard to navigate through. Do you find that the deer use it a lot up there?
Yeah, I do. There's like, if you know, like there's trails and stuff, and some of these spots, like there's trails that go right through it. And I mean, obviously that's where the deer are going. Cause I mean, if you don't go on those trails or like those little cutaways that like, the deer basically use, or like, I don't even know if they're people trails or they're like deer trails or whatever there is, like, if you don't go on them, dude, it's a nightmare. I mean, it takes you, like, you know, 30 minutes, an hour to get 300 yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus just going. And, you know, the other day I was up in one, and it's so cool. It's, like, little, like, caves kind of that just shoot through this stuff. Like, it's pretty nuts how it all, like, works out. But, yeah, it's cool, man. The mountain lore stuff's, like, different. Like, it's hard. But there's definitely big deer that use it.
Yeah, and we have some up here. You start getting into the – we're basically, like – the foothills of the Appalachian Mountain Range. And so it's not like super, super high elevation, but it's pretty steep, and there's some mountain laurel and stuff in some parts of where I'm at. But like what you're kind of describing reminds me of Texas. You get in some of these real thick, like these like brush thickets that, especially when there's hogs. And it'll be so thick, and you can't really do anything. And then when you get down on your hands and knees and look at it from that perspective, you can see their little tunnels going through there. It's pretty cool. I mean, and I'm a lot like you in that I like to find that real thick stuff that I can hunt. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of times, like even like right now I'm carrying a rifle around, or I have been for the past 2 days. Our rifle season opened up last Saturday, I think.
Oh, did it? I got you.
Yeah. And honestly, like, so today I hunted the same tree that I would hunt this area if I were using a bow. And most of the time, the areas I'm hunting are so thick that it really doesn't matter if I've got a bow or a rifle. I'm kind of setting up the exact same way. And getting pretty close to the same type distance shots that I would get. You know, 30 yards, 40 yards, maybe. There's a couple spots where I'll set up a little bit different when I've got a rifle. But for the most part, I mean, I love finding those really, really thick areas. The deer really have to come into close range, and you have to set up on those right spots, you know, like clear cut, hard transition lines and stuff like that. So you've been getting after it this season, and it seems like for anybody who doesn't know who you are, you do the In the Presence Outdoors with a group of your buddies, and that's on YouTube channel. I'm sorry, it's on YouTube, and just a really, really good. I was talking to Bill about you the other day. Yeah, I guess it was when I was in North Dakota, so it was in September. But we were talking about you and how consistent you are and your whole group of guys. I mean, y'all are just like, in my opinion, like some of the most underrated, and probably just because you haven't been around for a really long time, putting stuff on YouTube. But man, for the amount of stuff that y'all are killing and like quality animals, public land, Sika deer or Sika deer, however you say it.
Sika deer,
killing Sika deer up there and then big whitetails, you know, public land deer, Pennsylvania and Ohio. Man, y'all are really crushing it. Y'all are doing a great job.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, dude, we got, I mean, like everyone here is like that, you know, is on it. It's pretty good killer, honestly. Like, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, we all, like, I'm not trying to, you know, sound cocky or anything. I'm trying to, you know. But, like, we got a good, like, kind of group of guys. Like, I mean, Jason, dude, he's an absolute killer. You know, we got Crizzy, dude, he kills big deer every single year. Tim smacks deer. I mean, we hunt a bunch, though, too. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, it's not like we're going in the woods once or twice a week. Like, nah, man, I mean, like, this is our lives. You know what I mean? We're in here, like, probably 3-4 days a week, if not even more. Like, so, yeah, I mean, we're grinding, but we're killing stuff, too. But yeah, I mean, like you know, some days are really successful and other days aren't. Like, you know, I missed a big buck in PA this year. I mean, that would have been my biggest PA buck, and just stuff like that. You know, I mean, that video is about to be out too. But we just try to show everything like exactly how it is and how it happened for us. So
yeah, and people, we were talking about this earlier. People kind of like, I notice when people like do like Facebook questions like, what kind of videos do you like to watch on YouTube or whatever? And people say, man, I like people that show the raw, emotion. I want real stuff. I don't want this TV, you know, sitting in a manicured over a manicured food plot behind a high fence or whatever. Like, I want to watch the real stuff. But then you post the real stuff where you accidentally put a bad shot on a deer, or your arrow clips a branch, or you, you know, make a decision that wasn't your smartest decision. And those same people are the first ones to be like, you're the worst hunter on YouTube, and you don't have any right to be in the woods, you know?
Oh, I know. People get written, especially the Sika stuff. Dude, the Sika stuff, like, it is such a tight-lipped little community. Like, people hate us because we post about the Sika stuff, man. Like, there's this one dude, he comments on every single one of our Sika videos just, like, bashing us, dude. Like, it don't matter if we kill a big stag or anything, dude. Like, we are just doing something wrong, you know what I mean? It's kind of crazy. Like,
just because he doesn't want the secret out?
Yeah, just because he doesn't want he's a local and he just doesn't want, like, people to know about it, basically. Oh, but, yeah, I mean,
this,
like,
is going
to
be a bad year for him, because a lot of people I know went up
there. I know. Like, you got Seek One, you got Tether, you got people way, you know what I mean? Like, way bigger than what we even are, you know what I mean? That went and, like, killed them. And, I mean, did you see Seek One's episode? Dude, it was sick. Just their graphics and everything. Like,
oh, yeah.
Their video quality
job is
just awesome, man. But, yeah, I mean, like,
and then Jared goes and kills, like, a dang world record.
Dude, that thing was a stud, man. That thing was a – that video was sweet, too. Yeah, dude, Jared's a killer, man.
Yeah,
that
Jared's awesome.
That dude kills good animals every single year.
Yeah, and he kills a freaking lot of them.
Yeah, I know, dude. Didn't he just kill, like, two bucks? He killed one in Indiana and one in Ohio, I believe, right?
Yeah, one in Indiana, one in Ohio, and then he killed, like, a – 450-pound bobcat. Like,
I saw that too. He killed
a huge bobcat.
Dude, that was huge, man.
It's like, go big or go home. He couldn't have just killed an average-sized bobcat. He couldn't have just killed an average-sized Sika deer. He had to go off and kill dang record book Sika deer.
Stud, dude. Yeah, that thing was massive.
So somebody told me, I guess it was him that told me, that the guys that he was hunting with had said that deer... that Sika deer that he killed was basically like the equivalent of shooting like a 200-inch whitetail.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's nuts to me. And it's his first one ever. Yep. His first time to ever do it.
That's crazy, dude. Like, you don't even know how many hunts it took till I even saw my first Sika deer. You know what I mean? Like,
really?
Oh, man. Like, everyone thinks, like, watching the videos and stuff, that you'll just come up here and it's just like, rats are running around the marsh. No, man, it's not like that at all. You know what I mean? Like, the frag is so tall in some of these spots, even the needle grass and stuff. I mean, it's so tall. You got to be on the lookout 24/7. I mean, like, you'll hear a deer way before you'll see them, you know? Like, and a lot of times, like, you'll miss deer, you know, if you're not paying attention, or even, like, you know, 100 yards away, you'll just see a little head. If you're not looking, you ain't seeing that. You know what I mean? So, like, a lot of times you're sitting there and a minute you get skunk, like, you don't see anything, but you'll hear them around you, like, but you just never lay eyes on them. You know, it's tough. And, like, that Sika deer I killed was, like, a good stag for public land. And, yeah, I mean, like, it was, I don't even know how many sits it took before that one, you know? And I mean, I don't know if you watched the video or not, but, like, there was a big spike that came in, dude. I was going to crank that thing. You know what I mean? I mean, I shot at it, but it's just like, you know, Sika deer, like, you just don't see a lot of them. So, like, when you do, it's, like, it's special. You know what I mean? Like,
do you hear them bugle a lot? Like, is that a pretty
thing? Oh, yeah. It's crazy. It's kind of eerie. It's, like, not – you won't hear it too much towards the beginning of season, because beginning of season it opens – I believe Maryland opens, like, September 10th or September – early September, one of the first weeks of September. They're usually rut starts, like, kind of when our lull starts for whitetail. Like, usually that second week, third week of October, even first week of October, it starts getting, like, good. And that's when you'll really hear them start bugling, start moaning, start growling. I mean, it's crazy, man. Like, me and Jason, the day after I killed my Sika deer, me and Jason went back in and we were trying to kill him, like, get him one. And I was filming him. Man, you should have heard the stuff we heard, man. It was, like, it's eerie out there. You know,
really?
Like, they just sound, oh, yeah, they sound wicked, like. It's just a little deer, but, man, they sound, like, ferocious, you know?
Dude, we need a Sika deer episode would be awesome. I'd love to go up there and hunt them someday.
Yeah, man, come on up, man. You're invited.
That would be...
I'll get you on one.
To me, that would be, like, people are going to crucify me for it, but I don't really have a whole lot of desire to go out west and elk hunt. Like,
Really?
It just doesn't really, like, I don't know. I think part of it's just the worry that I'll like it so much that I won't want to do anything else.
Yeah.
And it's so far away. Like, that's a huge investment for a guy from Alabama. An investment of time and, like, in learning a new skill. I mean, it's something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I like deer, you know, like.
Oh, I know how it is. Trust me. I was an elk guy, dude. So, like, I know all about it. Right after high school, I went out west. I got a job in Du Bois, Wyoming, and I was just basically a packer for, like, probably the first, like, month. And then he started, like, taking me out. And I mean, yeah, it was fun and all. But I went back home. I mean, started hunting whitetails again. And then the summer I went back out and, like, kind of did, like, the fly fishing trips. And we were taking, like, high pointers up to, like, Cannock Peak there, which is, like, the highest peak in Wyoming. So, like, I was doing all that. And, like, during the summer, I just, like, I didn't really get burned out by it. But, like, I'm not a big horse and, like, mule guy, honestly. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. So, like, it was annoying. Like, you know, every single morning you have to go and saddle these things up and, like, you know, pack it, everything. And, like, dude, I was making, when it all broke down, I was making $33 a day. And, I mean, I was living like a coyote. You know, I was, like, up in the hills for just weeks on end, not showering, like, you know, just, like, basically just, like, living like a cowboy. And, like, honestly, like, I just kind of got, like, a little ticked at it. And me and him kind of got in a fight in the mountains. And, you know, I quit, went back home, and just kind of did, like, worked around home. And then my buddy from back here, he owns an outfit in Montana. So he hit me up and was like, hey, man, you want to try it again? And it's, like, a 4x4 outfit. So I was like, yeah, sure. So I went out there for spring bear, and I loved it. I did, like, the fall out there. And, I mean, dude, it was great. Like, I was guiding people. I think I was, like, for 4 weeks, I think I was, like, 50% success rate, which I meant it's pretty good. Like, I meant, I wasn't 100%. But, hey, man, like, first time really hunting elk by myself, and I went 50%. I was pretty happy with that. But, like, dude, I went back home. I started hunting whitetail again. And, man, I'm like, I love the whitetail thing, man. Like, I'm a diehard whitetailer. Like, don't get me wrong. Elk's awesome and, like, the rut when you hear them bugling and stuff. But rifle season is brutal, man. Like, it – for me, it wasn't super fun in rifle season. I'd rather just, like, hunt them with archery and hunt them how I want to hunt and just be done, go hunt where else I want to hunt. You know what I mean? So that's,
sure.
That's kind of why I gave up the guiding thing. But, I mean, yeah, it was a cool experience, and elk hunting is awesome. I mean, like I said, archery elk hunting, you cannot beat it at all. Rifle, you just got to pray for snow, basically.
Really? But, is it just because they're not up and moving as much, or –
like, they're just, like, at least the leases that he had, because it was all, like, kind of, like, there. I think for bear, he had some public that we were allowed to hunt, but for all elk, like, it's basically all just private that you're hunting. So, like, they're not really up on the private pieces, like, up in the mountains too much when the snow comes. When the snow comes, it just pushes them down low, all the alfalfa fields. And, I mean, dude, it's just, like, a massacre, you know what I mean? Like, Everyone in camp tags out, basically, because all the elk are down low, you know?
Huh.
So,
see, yeah, that sounds fun to me. Like that type of elk hunting. I don't know. There's something about, like, the Western thing. Like, so yeah. I went out to Nebraska and hunted turkeys, like, in the Western part of Nebraska. And that's I guess that'd be kind of the most Western type hunting that I've done. I don't know. It just, I love deer hunting. And so
it makes me.
Not and in September, like, you got all these early openers. You can hunt Kentucky. You can hunt
North Dakota. I know. Velvet, you know, yeah.
And do the velvet hunts. And then, like, saying that I want to give that up to go and hunt elk and probably not kill one on public land. Like, statistically, I won't kill one. You know, a lot of people love it. I mean, everybody I know who's gone says they wish they could go back every year. Maybe that's the worry for me, is I just feel like I would, it's just maybe not in my best interest for my family and me if I go just stick to whitetails, you know. But seek a deer, for some reason I feel differently about them than I do elk. I feel like seek a deer, you go up to Maryland, do seek a deer hunt. You're not, you know, And maybe I'm wrong. It seems like it would be not the elevation and.
Yeah, it's totally flat, man. I mean, you're right against the coast. The only thing you really got to worry about is, like, you know, basically tidal flooding or whatever. That's really all you got to worry about. But, like, even that's not that big a deal, you know?
Sure.
But, and then you just got to worry about, there's a bunch of other stuff you got to worry about. Like, obviously, like, you just getting eaten alive the second you even step out of your truck with just skeeters. I mean, like, it's crazy.
Really?
But, oh, yeah, I meant, like, it's nonstop. If you don't have permethrin or you don't have a, like, you don't have a thermocell, like, you are getting eaten alive, especially if there's no breeze. The second there's a breeze, you're pretty much good. But, like, if you're still, like, walking in the marsh, like, dude, they will just swarm you, man. Like, the second you get up in your tree, they'll swarm you for, like, 20, 30 minutes. But, like, usually once that sun comes up and starts, like, poking up, like, they're usually gone, you know, at least for the most part. But once you get down back on the ground, oh, man, it's a frenzy, dude.
So tell me, how did you get started with the Sika thing? Like, I know you're in Pennsylvania, so it's a little bit of ways away for you. How did that even start?
Yeah, so basically, just me and my buddy Jason, like I said, Jason's part of the show now, but yeah, basically he took me underneath his wing, and we went down there. Last year was the first year I hunted them. We went down in the summer and scouted some of the spots like he already been to, and scouted a couple more and just kind of pinned some more spots. And then we started hunting them just pretty hard. I mean, not, you know, we weren't going down just every single week, but, you know, when we'd go down for a day or two, and if it's not right, all right, fly back home. If it's right, all right, we'll stay down there a couple more days, you know. But yeah, it's basically Jason got me into it. So
okay,
and so how he got into it was, I think his but or I, he knew he either knew about it or something. And then his buddy was, like, telling him about it, and he's like, oh, I want to try it. So there's a couple groups on Facebook, like, just Sika deer hunting groups, and I think he reached out there and, like, posted something, and some dude named Kurt or Curtis, something like that, reached out to him and was like, hey, man, like, come on down and give it a try. Like, you know, I got this private farm here. I'll take you underneath my wing for, like, the first hunt and, you know, kind of see how you like it. You know, that way you're not just going out in public and just getting killed out there. He's like, why don't you just, like, come down here and just give her a whirl. So Jason did, and I believe he shot like a little stag, or it might have been a hind, something like that. But then he said after that, like, in the summer, he went down and just started, like, grinding on public land, just started pinning everything, and, like, you know, basically that's how it all started.
So this is a true testimony to it working when you go on Facebook and say, hey, I'm interested in coming out here, I don't want your honey holes. But
Jason didn't post anything like that, you know, like, we would never post anything like that. But I mean, I think he was just like, hey guys, like, how do I kind of get into the Sika stuff, you know? I kind of want to give it a try. And, you know, people replied. I mean, I'm sure he got a bunch of hateful comments, don't get me wrong, but, like, yeah, there's a couple good people left in the world, you know, like. So
isn't it funny how you can like, you can say the same thing in two different ways and it come across, like, two different
ways.
Yeah,
way different. My biggest pet peeve is when people get on those, like, those groups and they're like, hey, has anyone hunted this state game land? Blah, blah, blah. Is it any good? I'm like, dude, stop.
Where should
I go? Like, I hunt there, dude. I'm not even going to reply to you, dude.
People are getting bold, too. They're getting freaking bold with it.
Oh, my God, dude. No, the funniest thing is people will post pictures and then they won't even crop out their latitude or longitude.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
it's funny. Like, I've had several people do that here in the past few days. There's a big, really big deer that got killed on a property that, on the same type property that I hunt. And so now all these people are getting on the Facebook forums. They're saying, hey, I'm thinking about coming over here. Is it any good? Where, what area should I focus on? I'm not asking for your honey holes, but a little help would be nice. And it's like, I just want to, I don't ever say anything, but I really want to be like, bro, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe sometimes it can work.
Yeah. Hey man, I mean, I guess obviously it's worked. I mean, I guess, but yeah, it all depends on how you ask. I mean, if you ask like a total moron, you know, just give away names and locations and stuff like that, you know, no one's going to help. Like, you know, if you, it all depends on how you do it and how you word it. Exactly.
For sure. So, as I mentioned before, you're pretty consistent yourself. Just speaking about you, like, it seems like you kind of have your system down, you know what you're looking for, you know the types of areas that you like to hunt, and you grind out in those type of areas. and you're consistent with it. So, I guess first off, Lane, how old are you?
24.
So you're 24 years old.
Yep.
And far beyond most 24-year-olds when it comes to public land deer hunting. And in some states that, you know, I think Pennsylvania has maybe a little bit higher deer density and maybe better quality deer. I don't really know, just based on the things that I see, than Alabama. But it is, I would say it could be very comparable mm-hmm. in terrain, at least in North Alabama, in the foothills of the mountains. Like when I was scouting for Pennsylvania, a lot of the stuff looked very similar. There's a lot of clear cuts and really nice terrain, you know, good funnel type terrains, ridges, saddles, things like that. Things that were very similar to what I hunt here. And then I guess, you know, my only other real exposure to Pennsylvania hunting would be, as far as videos are concerned, like Bo Martonic mm-hmm. has had some stuff. And a lot of it looks very similar to what I hunt here in Alabama. And so I'd be curious to know, like, what are the types of areas that you're hunting? I know you mentioned mm-hmm. that you've been hunting some more mountainous stuff here recently. But what is, like, your go-to type area that you like to hunt?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm kind of all over the place. I mean, I bounce around a lot. Where we're at, like south, I guess you call it like southeastern, south central PA. It's like Lancaster County, and I live up in Lebanon, but most of the other guys live down in Lancaster. But it's like you said, all mountains, like kind of mountainous stuff, and then there is some, like, you know, river stuff or like some water access stuff like that. I mean, honestly, I like getting away from the crowd. So, like, I try to go where people aren't. Like, the water access stuff's great because, like, you don't run into another soul on those pieces. I mean, it's pretty good. And you just kind of, you know, tuck on the one side, tuck on the other side. Like, it's not bad. And as far as, like, what I'm looking for in the mountains and stuff, a lot of it is habitat diversity. And a lot of it is, like, good terrain features, too. And then, like, you know, if you see a clear cut, edges are great. You know, there's a lot of like I said before, like mountain laurel thickets, edges of that are great. There's some pine thickets up here. You know, basically if you sit on the edge of anything like that, you're probably going to see deer. You're probably going to see deer sign, and more times than not you're going to be in deer. I've been also looking for hot fresh sign is a really good key too. Like one of my early season hunts, I floated into a piece and started walking, and I mean, it just did not look good at all on the one side of it. So I cut more to the center of it, found a real fresh scrape and like a huge, basically highway, you know, obviously there was deer on it, like, you know, huge deer tracks in it, big deer trail, had set up right on the edge of that. There was some thick stuff to my east, I believe. And yeah, I killed that doe there. And yeah, man, just stuff that people aren't going to hunt. I mean, like PA gets a ton of pressure. Everyone and their brother hunts. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you really gotta be creative and do stuff that's either overlooked or going deep or stuff that no one's doing, basically, is how I'd be successful at it.
Do you find in Pennsylvania, like, I know the hunting culture is pretty huge. Is it still mm-hmm. like, so it's big here too, but most of the time during archery, mm-hmm. like even if you're walking into places, you know, if you're in the heart of WMA, a lot of times during archery season, you can pretty well have it to yourself. Is that the case there, or is the whole archery scene still a pretty huge group?
Archery is a pretty big thing. I mean, I had for instance, I had on this one piece in the summer, I put like a bunch of conventional cameras out, and I'll check them like, you know, that first week of October there and kind of just see. So I did that. I had a big 12 pointer on it, and it was basically a mountain that came up the one side and then a huge saddle and then a mountain that came down the other side and like a nice ridge run right through there. So I was on the one mountain on the far, I believe it was the north side of it. I was on like that side of the mountain, and I went back in there. I had my camera back in there, and I got a couple nighttime pictures of them. I didn't get anything like during the day. Like, I mean, it was like first thing in the morning I got him, like, you know, kind of like right at crack of dark, stuff like that. So like, I knew he was close, And then just talking to Jason, the nice thing about like having a group that you kind of hunt with and like friends that are into hunting and not snakes, is you kind of bounce ideas off of them. So like, you know, Jason's a real big helper for me. Like basically I'll call him and just be like, hey man, like I got a picture of a buck. Like I want to kill this buck. How would you go about it? And, you know, I'd send him like pins and stuff. And he told me, he was like, dude, he's like, you should try that other side of the mountain. He's like, I bet you there's sign over there. So I was like, all right. I mean, I kept in the back of my mind. I didn't do anything with it. I hunted that side. I hunted the north side the one day. I found a bed, hunted it, like didn't see anything. I think I saw like a little spike or a little 4-point, something like that. And then midday, I was like, you know, I'm going to go hike over there. I hiked over on that. Dude, it was nuts, man. Like I cut probably like 5 or 6 scrapes just right in a row. I mean, I don't know if you're following us or not on like our social media pages, but like we post a lot on the stories, or at least I do. And like, I posted this one huge rub, dude. I mean, like, it was massive, man. I was like, all right, this is where this deer's living, obviously. So I pinned a couple spots, and then that, I think it was, like, the next Friday I went back in there in the evening. Got back and, like, pulled in there. Dude, there was a car sitting there, and dude getting out and, like, getting dressed. I was like, oh, dang it. I was like, all right, I got to go talk to him. So I talked to him, and I was like, where are you going, buddy? He's like, oh, I'm going way back in there. He's like, real far, like, 1.5 miles. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to be up on this mountain. He's like, well, that's where I'm going. I was like, oh, he's like, but dude, don't worry. He's like, go where you want to go. He's like, you probably won't even see me. I'm like, all right, dude. So like, I start hiking up this mountain. Immediately, I get like halfway up, and I just hear like, creak, 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 and I'm like, all right, something's coming. So I kind of like hunker down. Dude, here's a dude. He's wearing orange. I think it was during the muzzleloader like overlay. Like we have like different muzzleloader seasons that pop up, so you gotta wear like orange. Dude, here comes this muzzleloader hunter. He hangs a trail cam and he just bounces out of there. I'm like, all right, well, that kind of sucks, but I'll go past him. So I went, like, kept going past him. I don't know if I was going past him or, like, where. I don't really know where he was walking, but he was walking out, like, the bottom side of the mountain, basically. So I just went up and kept walking out. I probably walked, like, 1/2 mile, maybe 3/4 mile to, like, one of the scrapes I was going to hunt. And I started getting set up, and all of a sudden I just hear, ch-ch-ch. And I remember I had my platform on the tree, and I was like, oh, dude, there's a deer coming. I'm screwed because, like, my bow is laying on the ground. So I'm, like, hugging this tree, basically. And freaking, dude, here's that dude from the parking lot. He comes down, and he never even saw me. He's like 40 yards. He's just like looking around. He ends up like walking past me. I'm like, all right, dude, I'm just going to get out of here. So I just like pulled all my stuff, walked down the mountain, and like, dude, you won't believe how much sign I cut like down low. So like, I never, like, the problem with me is I got too many spots. I just bounce around like a maniac. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I'm hunting one particular deer. Like, I'm hunting all these kind of, you know, I run a lot of trail camps. So like, the second we get any deer on trail cams, all right, you know, I'm trying to hunt these deer. I'm trying to hunt that deer, you know, like anywhere where the wind sets up for, I'm just kind of bouncing all over, which it might shoot myself in the foot. It probably has, but that's just how I've been doing it. So after that, I just kind of got burned out of that spot. I never even hunted it again. You know what I mean? But I've seen, like, for the most part, archery, you don't get a lot of pressure. I mean, you do, don't get me wrong. There's people who hunt, but like, it's really on the weekends that you see the pressure, like Friday night, Saturday, you can't hunt Sunday. So like, that's when people are just grinding out there. But if you get any time off during the week, take advantage of it, get out there and like hunt, because that is when the prime time is for public land. 100%.
Dude, I think it's public land and private land. Honestly, if they're on a hunting club or a lease or something like that, still midday is going to be, I mean, I'm sorry, midweek is going to be your best time. I have looked back at the majority of the bucks that I've killed. Yeah. I mean, and when I say a majority, I mean the overwhelming majority of bucks that I've killed have been on Wednesday mornings.
Really?
It's to this point, it's weird. Like at this point, I feel more confident on Wednesdays than I do any other day of the week. Like, It can be like this morning we had a warm front come through, so it's like it's been super hot, winds out of the south. I don't really have any good spots for the way the south set, the wind out of the south is. Like just a pretty terrible day, but I was like, man, today might be it. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, baby.
last Wednesday I killed my buck last week on a Wednesday.
Really?
Oh yeah, funny, dude. Man. I mean, I would say more than just that. It would be the majority of deer that I've killed, not just bucks, but does too. Like just deer in general. I don't. It's really weird. And And my dad even said so. What was it? We were talking like last night, I think. And yeah. I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna go into this spot on Wednesday, on tomorrow." And he's like, "Oh, well, you know, it's Wednesday, so it's your day." And I was like,
"That's awesome, though, man."
I mean, so I think what you're saying is absolutely true. Like I would venture to say that a lot of people find success on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Yep.
A lot of your hardcore guys. Now, yep. Obviously, the most deer are probably killed on Saturday because that's when more people are out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
But your hardcore guys, I would almost venture to guess that when Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is when they're seeing the most deer activity, just natural deer activity, not deer being pushed.
Yep.
Nothing like that. Like I think people, when deer have time to just kind of settle down and,
yep.
you know, get back to their normal thing after the weekend push from hunters. If you can go in on those midweek days, that can be some of the best.
It's fire, dude. It's fire. I love hunting midweek, man. Like if you can do it because it definitely pans out, you know?
Sure. Sure. So you're 24 years old. And yep. you get to hunt a lot. Tell me, how are you able to hunt so much?
So basically, I don't have a wife. I don't have a girlfriend. All I got is a little dog. You know what I mean? So like, I bought a house. So like, my mortgage payment's like, dude, it's peanuts, man. It's peanuts. It's like a little over $400 a month. You know? So like, I got this new job. I was working at this aluminum factory this past year. And dude, it sucked, man. Like it was, Jason got me that job. So he's going to hate when I say that, but like, dude, it was rough, man. It was like swing shift. All right. So like it was 12 hour shifts. So you basically do 6 to 6, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And then it was like fluctuating. So I'd be like 3 days on, like 4 days off, like 3 days on, like, you know, 5 days off, whatever. I forget what the thing is. And then I would switch back and forth from like nights to days, nights to days, nights to days.
Oh, man.
So that, dude, it was brutal, man. Like, it, I made some money, but I mean, dude, I, like, lost a good portion of my life just being stressed out and just, like, I had no summer, man. Like, I was just working. I was just grinding, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just trying to survive. But, yeah, then the fall came, and my other buddy, Tim, he actually told me, he was like, hey, man, like, my buddy's, like, looking for a dude. And I'm an electrician, so, you know, I can't find jobs or wherever. And, like, Lancaster, man, there's jobs. Everyone is looking for a job. You know, not looking for a job, but, like,
looking every for place.
Is
yeah. Hot.
Yeah, everyone is hiring, dude. Like, it's crazy. So this dude is, like, some contractor. I reached out to him. He was like, yeah, man, like, you got it. And I was like, listen, dude, like, I'm a big-time hunter. Like, I want to do this YouTube thing. I told him exactly what I want to do and my goals. And he was like, dude, you don't have anything to worry about. He's like, all you got to do is tell me, like, 2 or 3 days in advance if you want off. He's like, I don't care if you take off. He's like, I don't care at all. So I was like, all right, dude, bet. Like, we're set, man. So, like, dude, I'll probably be working here the rest of my life, man. Like, this is awesome. I've never hunted this much, man. Like, I had off from October. I think I took off October 28 to, like, November. I was supposed to be off, like, the first, basically, 2 weeks of November. But it got a little bit of a warm front in Ohio. It warmed up to like, I think like 60 or like just mid 60s. And I was kind of blown out, honestly. So I was just like, hey man, text him. I was like, hey dude, I was like, do you mind if I, you know, come back home and work for 2 days and head back out there? And he's like, and you know, finish up the rest of my week, like the next week. And he's like, dude, I don't care at all. He's like, go for it. So that's what I did, man. I came home. I think Monday night came home, worked Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday I head back out. Or no, what was it? I forget exactly how it worked out, but it was something like along those lines. But yeah, like it's kind of crazy. It's kind of cool, like having a job like that. You know?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Really, really fortunate for where. Like if it wasn't for bosses like him, man, I'd be SOL, man. I'd be a weekend warrior just like him, or I'd be just tired and just trying to grind through it, you know. But he'd be miserable, man. Like it, I don't know. It's nice. Yeah. It's nice, like having a chill job and just being relaxed and just, you know, enjoying the woods. Honestly, like.
I've been doing that this year. This is my first year being self-employed, and
yeah, man, that's awesome.
And it's been really great. Somebody asked me how it's going. I was like, it's going really good for me, but don't ask the clients who have had to deal with me through the month of November. And it's only going to get worse in December once our rut starts here. So, I'm doing what I can. I did like right before. I guess it would be right before November got here. So like end of October, I guess. I did my first trip to Kentucky October 22nd. So it would have been like the week before that. Dude, I busted out so much work and got like basically enough money so I could just not work a whole lot through November and December.
Yep.
And so far it's going good. I've made what I need to make to survive, and I've gotten to hunt. It's been going great, and I got to go to Kentucky last week. I'm headed out tomorrow. I hunted the last 2 days with very little success. but tomorrow I'll start it's called a special opportunity hunt. So,
oh, really?
I don't know if y'all's public lands do this or not, but like some of the WMAs out here have these quota draw hunts type things.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So they'll have a hunt weekend where they'll open it up. So we'll hunt tomorrow. We can get in at noon and hunt through Sunday.
Nice.
And it's limited access. It's just me and one other guy in the unit that we're in, and then two other guys in another unit. And that's it. And I think there's only been one other hunt this year.
Yeah.
So I start that tomorrow. I think that'll probably be, until I'm tagged out and I'm just trying to kill does, that'll probably be my last bow hunt, my last archery hunt for the season.
Man, that's sad.
It is, but...
it's fun shooting them, too. It's fun shooting them with a gun.
I love rifle hunting. It is so much fun. And like I said, like for most people, the thrill of archery is getting the deer close, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to get that deer right up there in your business. Like, that's the challenge of it, is getting the deer right there. But the way that I hunt them with a rifle is no different than I have like maybe two spots that I deer hunt with a rifle that, you know, I'm set up to shoot one out to, you know, 75 yards or so.
Yeah.
But
dang, that's still tight though, man. 75 yards, out here, like, it's a little different. I mean, you ain't going to take, you know, a 1,000-yard shot out here, but I mean, dude, like, you could easily set up in a cornfield or something like that, or even like a swamp bottom, probably get like 150, 200-yard shot, maybe 300-yard shot, you know?
No, I'll bet you I've never shot a deer over 150 yards.
Dang, that's wicked, man.
I would be surprised if I've ever shot a deer over 150 yards.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And honestly, at that distance, this sounds stupid, and a lot of gun guys are probably going to think that I'm dumb, but I'm just not that confident with a rifle, like, to shoot to 150. No, I don't feel like, I mean, I just feel like that's just asking for a miss to shoot, to shoot those long range shots like that. And aside from that, like, we don't have a lot of places, there's not a lot of places I could sight in a gun for that far out here.
Yeah.
Like, we have, there's an indoor rifle range down the road that goes out to 100 yards, and I take mine there at the beginning of every season, and I'll sight it in to 100. But, I mean, most guys are just going out in Bubba's backyard and shooting at 50 and calling it good.
Free-handed, too.
Yeah, free-handed. That's the way most people do it. Yep. But, for me, rifle hunting is so much fun still, because I still am getting right up in their business. Most of the time.
That's cool.
Like last year, I shot one buck with a rifle last year, and I shot, it was closer than any of my archery shots.
Like, wow.
I shot three bucks in Alabama last year. The one that I shot in with a rifle was, I mean, freaking right there.
Yeah.
And, I could have shot him with a bow, and I probably would have made a better shot on him with a bow, to be honest with you. So, I mean, like there is a little advantage to it, you know, when a deer gets to 50 or 60 yards, you can pretty easily kill him. The hunt's pretty much over. Yeah. But the benefit for me, like, and also for me, I grew up in Texas, so I grew up hunting with a rifle. When I wasn't in Texas, I was here in Alabama, and the tradition, the gun hunting tradition is just pretty rich out here, you know, because our rifle seasons are so liberal and they're so long. Like, ours opened what's today? November the 6th is when our rifle season opened. And we'll get to hunt rifle until like January 31st or February. In other parts of the state, I can hunt until February 10th with
Dang,
a rifle.
Man.
I mean,
that's
just
wicked.
It's long. And so most people, that's just how they've always hunted.
Yeah,
with a rifle. And bow hunting is great, and it gives you more time to hunt. But, I mean, dude, I remember a time in my life where November, you know, this time of the year was the opener.
Like, yeah.
I didn't know anything about bow hunting.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the way I was raised. It's the way a lot of people in the South were raised. And that's why you find, like, even when you see a lot of creators out of the South, you know, they don't really follow the same, like, bow-only type mindset is because, I mean, they just weren't raised that way. Like, in Iowa or even Pennsylvania, I'm sure, or Michigan, you know, a lot of the northern states, Kentucky, they get maybe a week or two of gun season.
Yep, that's all we get.
You know,
2 weeks.
2 weeks of gun season. So, yeah, you have to, if you want to hunt for any amount of time, you have to hunt with a bow.
Yeah.
You've got to learn how to do that. Otherwise, you're going to have 2 weeks out of the year to hunt.
Yep.
And that don't sound like any fun to anybody.
No, and also that don't sound like no fun.
I would be okay if they shortened our rifle season and made archery a little bit longer. I wouldn't be against that, but man, I love gun hunting. I got some negative feedback the other day. Not negative, but not like, it definitely wasn't positive. I posted a picture on Instagram, and I said, going into my last bow hunt of the season, and I'm going to enlist in the Orange Army. And I had a guy that's like, it doesn't take any skill to kill a deer with a rifle.
Oh.
I was like, all right, Bubba, come on out here.
Yeah.
See what you think about that. It's going to take skill for you to find a doe. Like,
yeah.
So,
yep.
I mean, and realistically, like, who the freak cares?
It doesn't matter. I love, dude, it's so funny when you get these comments, because it's like, all right, dude, like, except, like I said before about, like, the Sika stuff, like, dude, all these private land dudes who own land down there, all they do is just go sit out over their corn pile, you know what I mean, and their elevated blind, and, you know, get selkie and pictures of these deer, like, oh, well, I'm going to go out there, I think he's going to be in there, you know what I mean, and it's like that dude that I said comment, dude, I guarantee you that's what that dude is doing, you know what I mean, taking his little Argo 6x6 or whatever out there, walking 150 yards to his stand, just hopping in it, you know, refreshing his corn pile once a month, whatever it is, like, dude, it's like, it's crazy how, like, you know, people comment and they're like, dude, you have no idea what it's like to be us, like, hunting on public land, doing stuff like we're doing, you know, you have no room to talk, but they still want to comment, they still want to say stuff, but whatever, man, it don't bother me.
Negative comments, my mama or my dad used to say, at least they're talking about you, you know, bad.
Yep, publicity is still publicity, right?
Yep, bad press is still press, so.
Exactly.
You know. It is what it is. So you got any other plans going into the rest of the season?
Trying to fill my PA tag now, man. My Ohio tag's filled and basically focusing on PF. I filled my PA tag. I started my season down in Delaware, I think on like September 1st. So I still got my Delaware buck tag. So maybe go down there. Maybe hit Maryland. Maryland's like a 3-buck state. So
you killed another buck early this season, like a kind of a goofy buck, right?
Yeah, it wasn't like anything huge, but I mean, I just shot it off the ground, which was my first like ground on the ground buck. You know what I mean?
That's
pretty
cool.
But
now is that PA?
No, that was Maryland. Yeah, okay. PA is only a 1-buck. Yeah, PA is only a 1-buck state. So Maryland's like, dude, like basically like Alabama. You got 3-buck tags. Well, I think it's 2-buck tags, but you can buy your additional buck tag, I believe. So
okay.
I bought that. I buy that every single year. But yeah, it's like unlimited does or something like 21 does a season, something like that. But yeah, man, like Maryland, you just wear them out. You know what I mean? And PA and Ohio, it's like a little bit more relaxed. Well, heck, dude, Ohio for a deer tag is like 80 some bucks. So, like, you know, if you want to shoot a doe, it's basically 80 some bucks, like a doe tag on top of your hunting license. You know what I mean? So it's not
really.
They're not cheap deer, you know? Like,
dang.
PA, yeah, PA is like, I think for a doe tag, like for a resident, it's like 670 or something like that, or 690.
Holy
and then
cow.
For non-res.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not bad. You know what I mean? Like, that's dirt cheap. But you can only shoot, I think you can shoot, last year you could shoot 3 does. I think this year they, like, increased it. So, like, basically we go by, like, YMUs. So, like, once a YMU doe tags are sold out, like, that's it. But this year they made a law where, like, any unsold doe tags after, I think it was, like, sometime in August or, like, late July, you could just go to the courthouse and buy, like, all the rest of your doe tags if you wanted. So, like, all the units that never sold out before, like, what was it, like, 5C, 5D, 5, even 5B, dude, like, they just got eaten up this year. So I don't even think there's any, like, doe tags even left, like, any in the state, you know what I mean? Because once it went past those days, everyone just rushed in there and just bought doe tags. So, like,
really?
You know, yeah, so, like, you can, I only got, I think I got two. I filled one of them, so now I only got one doe tag left, but.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so,
it sounds.
Dude, what do you think? Would you rather, quick question for you, would you rather Alabama be, like, a 1-buck state, or are you happy it's a 3-buck state?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. My wife would probably rather it be a 1-buck state. is that a good answer? Like, I love killing 3 bucks. Like,
oh yeah, I bet, man.
But it is, like, there is some value, I think, for, like, guys in Kentucky when they shoot a buck. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, I can rest, you know?
Yeah.
But we all know too that nobody ever really rests, and it don't take very long for you to get the itch again. And
oh no, man! It's only a short window we get to do this. You know what I mean? So you might as well grind through it and just the rest of the year be miserable. You know what I mean? Like,
that's one way to put it. And probably for a guy who's not married and doesn't have kids. That's probably it. Like, just be miserable the rest of the time.
I'm like, I'm hanging out with friends and stuff, but I mean, dude, it's not the same just grinding through the deer woods. Like, come on, man, I love that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, man. I mean, like, you really are in a cool situation, and I'd imagine a lot of listeners are super jealous of you right now. You got a good job, you know, a flexible job. You got a house with a cheap mortgage. What I'm imagining is it's probably in a mansion or anything, but it's a place for you to...
It's like 1,900. Yeah, it's 1,900 square foot. I mean, it was built in like 1905. It's an old farmhouse. I mean, it ain't bad.
It's a place for you to live and...
Yep, rest my head, and that's about it.
Most people, when they were your age, if they weren't already married, they were trying to get married, you know, and they were... They weren't thinking about... Like, I know so many hunters... Like, so many, like, pretty hardcore deer hunters that didn't start doing it until basically after they got married, like, as adults. It's like a lot of guys hit a point where, you know, they do, and this isn't anything against wives or families or kids or anything like that, but they need something, you know, they need something that they can do for themselves and to get away. And so they choose things like hunting or golf or whatever. But, like, you're in a really neat situation for yourself to be able to kind of live this lifestyle and set yourself up for the lifestyle that you want to have as a hardcore deer hunter. And so, man, kudos to you on that, on setting up your life to be able to do that. I know a lot of people probably would have done things differently if they could go back and do it again, and you're just kind of out there doing it. And I think that's super cool. And pursuing it through, you know, film and creative outlets, man, it's just really cool. And not just putting out, like, decent videos. You're putting out really, really, really good videos. Engaging, and from what I understand, you did an internship with The Untamed, right?
Yeah, yep.
So, is that kind of a thing that you did where you kind of learn the whole story process and creating a storyline and doing a lot of the editing.
Like, it, before that, I was, like, always into it. Like, I remember like in middle school, like, me and Alex, like, that was my, like, one of my best friends, Alex Anthony. He's, like, kind of, he's part of the show too. Okay. But, in middle school, I remember picking up, like, one of those Canon, like, point and shoot cannons or cameras, you know what I'm talking about? Like, the ones with, like, when you turn it on, like, the lens would pop out the front, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, I mean, like, basically that's all we had. And I remember just being like,
Arrow Affliction on Outdoor Channel were like real huge at that time, or at least with us. So like, dude, that's all we were trying to be. We were just out there just videoing anything. Like, I mean, we were in middle school, so like, you know, we're shooting like little Tweety birds with our BB gun, stuff like that, just videoing it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, so, thinking
totally,
we're just so
totally
cool.
Illegal.
Like, oh yeah, I mean, definitely, we definitely killed. Probably, yeah, I don't know if I should be saying this, but yeah, we definitely did not back then. You know how it is, like,
yeah.
Just killing anything basically. But yeah, man, like, it was just fun, man. Like, you know, just kind of that stuff. And I remember, like, we had, like, we both made shows. I think Alex's was, like, Full Throttle or something like that. I don't even know what mine was called at the time. And then, freaking, like, we, like, basically in middle school, we went to high school, and we didn't really do anything with it at all. Like, just nothing. I remember being, like, it was kind of cool. But, where I went to high school at Mannheim Central, they had some film classes and, like, some photography classes and, like, editing classes. So I took all that and then kind of like just learned everything, you know, so I could kind of, I was kind of good on a computer, you know what I mean? And then
one Christmas,
I believe it was like the Christmas I got out of high school, my mom bought me a DSLR camera, like one of those Canon, I think it was like a T5. And I was like, she was like, you should try to film some hunts with it. And I was like, yeah, maybe I should. And then I went up to, there's like the Great American Outdoor Show, or back in the day, it used to be called, I think, like the Harrisburg Sportsman Show or something like that. So we went up there, and there was like one booth there selling like camera arms. So I bought a camera arm. Then I went down to Jersey that following year, and I shot a doe on film. Like, I just self-filmed it, and I was like, dude, this is sweet, man. Like, all I got was just the shot. I didn't even get the recovery. I didn't get anything, dude. Like, I didn't, you know how it is
yeah.
Starting out. Like, you don't know anything. So, like, all I got was just the actual doe just getting shot, and that was it. And I was like, dude, this is freaking cool, man. I think we can do this. So I remember coming right home and telling Alex. And, like, Alex was like, yeah, dude, I actually kind of want, I was thinking about it, dude. I'll buy a camera, too. So he went on Amazon, bought it. I think he bought the same camera I had. And then that spring, we went out and we filmed a turkey hunt out in Ohio. Alex was hunting turkey, and I was just filming him. So he shot one with his bow, and I got it on video. Dude, it was, like, the worst video ever. Like, I meant just shaky, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, we're getting video, don't get me wrong. And we got that one up on the channel. It was like, it's our very first video. And like, I mean, I remember like coming back home just being like, man, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, we're killing it. You know what I mean? And then showing some of our buddies, and they're just like, dude, this sucks, man. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know? But like, yeah, but basically just trial and error. Like, that's how it all started. You know, we got our beginning seasons. I think our first video we posted in like 2017 or 2018. I mean, like, dude, it was, like I said, it was terrible, you know? And then after that, I think we had like, 2-3 seasons where like it was just basically me and Alex. I mean, dude, it just sucked, you know what I mean? And then I was like always learning, like always, like, you know, always improving, you know. But then I got a Canon, well, I think it was like an XA20, and that's when it like really started, like video quality started getting better,
yeah,
you know. And then I did the internship with the Untamed, and just basically just kind of learned like, all right, how to run a YouTube channel, you know. You got to post stuff like as it happens. Like, one of the problems starting out is like, we just get it all, and then it would take us just months to edit, or me just months to edit. And then like, I'd post it in like the middle of summer. Dude, no one cares about deer hunting or turkey hunting in the middle of summer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, we didn't get any views whatsoever. Like, just nothing. Like, I remember last year, like, I guess, what would it be? Last year was when we started like really just pounding out the content, and I got back from the Untamed. And I was kind of burned out, honestly, from filming everything. And I was just like, all right, well, I'm going to take a couple months off. Took a couple months off, and I killed a buck in PA in rifle season with my bow on, like, one of those floating pieces. So I had that. I edited it and then put it out. And it got, like, I think it got, like, 2,000 views or something like that within, like, 2 weeks or something like that. And I was like, all right, dude. I was like, I think we got a little potential. So I was like, it's kind of cool. Like, you know, I think I'm editing good. Like, I kind of getting my feet wet, like, not my feet wet, but I kind of know kind of what to do now, you know. It's not just like,
yeah,
a total just shot in the dark. So like, I talked to, that's when I started talking to like Jason or whatever, and I was like, dude, we should like kind of start filming hunts. Like, you guys should get cameras and start like actually taking it serious. And he's like, oh dude, like I will. So like, we filmed our first, I think we started putting out content like basically every single week. We're trying to put out a video, you know what I mean? That's
yeah,
kind of what we're shooting for, every a video a week or two videos a week. But yeah, man, that's kind of how it just all started, you know. Just one thing led to another, and now here we are. Like, before Jason, all of them, I think we had like 100 some subscribers on YouTube, dude. Now we got like, I think last I checked it was like 2.5k, you know what I mean? So like,
yeah,
we're definitely
We're definitely doing something right, and people are liking it. People are liking what they see. I mean, I'm hoping people are liking what they see, you know. I mean, we just try to show everything how it is, try to be educational, and just, you know, take everyone along on the adventure. So
that's awesome, man. Y'all are doing a great job. And it's, I mean, I know November's almost over, but I feel
yeah,
like
it sucks.
As long as you still got tags in your pocket, you're going to be out there trying. So.
Oh yeah, man. You know us, dude. We got so many videos right now. Like, I've been just not even editing and just hunting, dude. And it's been like, it's been a wreck. Like, we got, I don't even know, man. We got tons of videos to put out. Like,
it's tough. Like, I understand people who wait a year before putting out stuff, and they just put it all out the next season.
Like, yep.
I've got two videos right now that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. Well, one video that I'm working on and another one that I have to do after that. I thought being self-employed that I would be like just right on top of it with editing, and what I found was it was a whole lot easier to edit on days when I had to work, you know, and I can't go hunt. Now I'm just like, I kind of just rather go hunt than edit.
I know. And then when you get home from hunting, dude, the last thing I want to do is sit on my computer from like 6 to 10 until I go to bed. Like, that's the last thing I want to do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So like, it's rough, but yeah, I mean, it's a grind, man. It's a grind, but
it's fun.
It's fun. Oh yeah, dude, it's fun being creative, man. Like, just doing creative stuff and just getting your brain like just flowing. Like, it's cool because like, you can basically, I mean, you know how it is, but like, anyone who's listening to this might not, but like, you know, you can shape a story or make a story however you want it, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of cool. And even while you're videoing it, like, I know we were talking about this in the summer and stuff, like, you know, you can kind of just see how, like, I know what shots I need to get or how I kind of want to turn the video, you know what I mean? Or like, make the video, like, how it's going. Like, it, once you start doing it and just doing it more and start improving and getting better, it just starts constantly growing. So
heck yeah. Well, In the Presence Outdoors was what people need to search on YouTube to find some of this stuff that we've been talking about. But Lane, dude, I appreciate you coming on, and even though it's November and it's hard to find a guest during the month of November, I appreciate you coming on last minute and talking to us for a little bit.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, dude, try to come up next year and let's hunt together. Either float in peace in PA or maybe try the Zika thing if you want.
I'm down.
Yeah, buddy. We'll stay in contact. Yeah, we'll stay in contact.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode of the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. As always, a big shout out to all of our partners. That's Go Wild, Spartan Forge, Tethered, New Canoe, and Scree Gear. You can keep up with Southern Ground Hunting by following us on Facebook and Instagram, or you can subscribe to us on the YouTube channel. And make sure you check out southerngroundhunting.com to pick up some of our merch, hats, t-shirts, stickers, stuff like that. I truly hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and we'll see you here again next week. Remember this: God gave you dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the beasts of the earth. So go out and exercise that dominion. We'll talk to you next time.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.